Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 9 of the First Love Club. We're so happy you've joined us today, and we hope that you'll be blessed and inspired by our conversation today. So we just want to start the show off and say that we had a little feedback from someone who said they weren't sure which one of us was talking when we're talking. So I want to say that I'm Tracy, and I'm the country bumpkin, and Corey is the smooth-talking West Coaster.
The smooth-talking.
Smooth-talking West Coaster. So when you hear
us... The one without the accent.
Exactly. When you hear a Southern accent, that is Tracy. And, you know, we should have told that from the beginning, Corey. We just didn't think that through. So I'm glad we have listeners who maybe they're not longtime followers of us, and they are new to our show. And so we need to tell who we are. So that's good that that came up. Thanks for the person who wrote that in.
Indeed.
We also want to say that we missed our show last week because, as you probably know, Corey is traveling in her RV, her little home on wheels, and we had some traveling technical difficulties. So where are you today, Corey?
I am in New Mexico. We are actually pulled off at a rest stop on the side of the highway just so that we can record this show. It made me so sad to miss last week. And I know you were bummed too. So we figured out a different way of doing it while we're traveling. But once I get to California, I'll be all set up like in a, you know, a stable office, and it'll be much easier to do the show together.
Well, I'm always so happy when we do an episode of this show because I get a chance to just sit and reflect and think about the Word of God. And so we want to talk about a big topic. So I think it's going to take us several shows. We're going to talk about the whole armor of God. So today we started studying about the first one, which is truth. And there's so much to say, we decided just to do an entire show on the truth. So maybe we will do a show on each of these, and maybe not. We'll just go with the flow and see. So why don't you start us out, Corey, by reading Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, which tells about the whole armor of God.
Okay. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Wow, that gave me chills when you said...
It's a directive, isn't it?
Yes, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And when you said, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I think we're in it.
I think that's obvious. I think most Christians can agree.
Yeah.
You know, once sin was released on the earth, you know, it's our responsibility as Christians to take this directive as just that. I mean, here's the direction that we should be leading our lives. This is what, you know, Paul has brought this message to us for a reason and purpose. I think that he was probably well-versed in evil, like what it really looks like face-to-face. You know, he's one of the few Christians in what he did early on in his ministry where he did deal with people that were possessed by evil.
So the very first part of the armor of God is stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. So we're going to talk about truth. But Corey, as I was studying for this, I ran across a verse that I know I have heard before, but I haven't read it in a long time. And it really struck me. It's Romans 13:14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. clothe yourself. So this, the armor of God goes along with that. But I love the vision of that in my mind, that he is there in spirit and I'm just putting him on, you know, and carrying him with me. And
it is a lovely thought.
Yeah. And these verses are going to teach us how to really guard ourselves, to armor up, to put on what we need to encounter the attacks of the enemy. So let's just start out talking about, as I said, it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So I was thinking about a conversation I had the other day with my sister, and we were talking about this show that we used to watch where there were attorneys and a judge. And this one judge, when the attorney would present their argument, the judge would say, in your opinion. And the attorney would have to say, yes, in my opinion. And so I was thinking about how when I'm looking at things on social media and conversations, and people are always giving their opinion, they really, when it's about a testy topic, you know, a touchy subject, each one of those people has their own version of the truth. And they're so passionate about what they feel is true. But really, the only absolute truth to be found in this world is in the Word of God, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So we have to know what the Word of God says, or we can be taken in by Satan's lies. So this is a really interesting passage. In John 8, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they were questioning him about who he was. And so the Pharisees thought that they were men of God, and they were portraying themselves to the world to be men of God and the leaders of the church. But Jesus talked to them in a way that I think might surprise some people, because it's not really the version of who they think Jesus is, but he told them the truth. And he said, this is the Amplified version, and it's in John 8. He says, why do you misunderstand what I'm saying? It's because your spiritual ears are deaf and you're unable to hear the truth of my word. You are of your father, the devil, and it's your will to practice the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truths. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me and continue in your unbelief. Which one of you has proof and convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God and belongs to him hears the truth of God's words. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God and you're not in fellowship with him. That was pretty harsh, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So we need to remember that sometimes when people can't accept the truth of who God is and what he has for them, it's not because they don't want to walk in the truth. It's because their eyes are blinded by Satan, the father of lies. As the Bible says, he's roaming the earth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And I try to remind myself of that when I see people saying something and I know it's against the word of God, it's against everything that God is for, I think they're just deceived.
You know, Tracy, one thing that I had been studying in the last couple months was I picked up Priscilla Shire's The Armor of God. And I cannot recommend this Bible study enough. It's fantastic. But she makes a point when she's talking about truth as being one of the things that we gird ourselves with. She makes this point that one of the ways in which, like, how do we put on that kind of belt of truth is you filter every circumstance personally and culturally through the prism of his word.
Yes.
Instead of merely leaning on your feelings.
Yes.
Political correctness or the opinions of others. And I think that really dovetails with what you just said, because that's one of the ways in which we get kind of, we veer away from the truth. It's hard to stand for things that you know are unpopular.
Yes.
The world and the spirit of offense, being politically correct, you know, having this the feelings of others mattering more than what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, I think, has become a really powerful tool that the enemy uses to divide us, not just us as people, but us as Christians as well. That divides the church all the time.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, there's just not that many people speaking the truth anymore, so we can't be afraid to speak the truth. But I do believe that we can speak the truth and not be offensive. And that's really something that the church needs to hear right now, especially. We need to think about how we're talking to each other. I read the comments on social media when it's a bunch of Christians talking to each other, and I cringe. I mean, I am mortified that people are talking to each other like they are. And I think if I was in the world and did not know Jesus, I would think, why do I want to be like them?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Like we were talking our last show about, you know, being cool. We're part of this club.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of this club. Our life should reflect Jesus in such a way that people want to become more like us.
Right.
Instead of like, glad I'm not like them.
So that tells us that even as Christians, we can be deceived because we can forget that our own truth or what we believe to be right, it's not worth being hateful over. That's kind of my pastor's main message, is that speak kindly to each other. And if you want to debate something, do it in love and in an intellectual way. Leave your emotions and feelings out of it, like you just said. You know, test it against God's word. And our conversation with each other is really one of our greatest tools to witness to people. And we're failing. And I include myself in that because I've failed many times in that as well. And it's very easy to do online when you think that, you know, people don't know you. It's even when your name is there, it's almost anonymous if it's a group of people you don't know. But it's just so important for us to remind ourselves that we are representing the one true God, and He's counting on us to walk in love, to speak in love, but to speak the truth.
Right. I mean, and that's part of it for me. Like, I remember when I wasn't a Christian, that was one of the things that so repelled me away from Christianity,
mm-hmm.
was what I felt was like a lot of hypocrisy. And I understand it. No one is claiming that once you become a Christian, you have it all figured out and your life is perfect. That simply isn't true. And we are all still human, no matter what team you're on, you're still a human being and you still walk in your flesh. You react in the flesh. And I am like you, Tracy, I am no different. I have failed that way as well. But you're right. The first thing we're always asked, you know, not asked, but directed, is to speak and act in love. No matter whether or not you're going to present truth that that person is not going to be happy with, it should come from a place of love, as if you were speaking to me so sweetly and tenderly, like to your child, someone you didn't want to hurt with your words. So trying to hit somebody over the head with truth rarely is successful.
Yep.
And oftentimes I feel like that's kind of what Christians tend to do.
Yep. Well, I found this great article about the armor of God at BibleInfo.com and had this to say about truth. The great truths of the Bible, the love of God, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the second coming, forgiveness of sin, grace and power to live for Jesus. These truths set us free from Satan's lies. Satan would have us believe that we are sinful, lost, and without hope. The truth is that God's love and salvation has set us free from sin and death. The second way that truth serves as a belt holding together the full armor of God is our personal commitment to truth, to live a life that is upright, transparent, and without deceit. Integrity and honesty are vital to your Christian life. People should know that they can depend on you to be a person of truth and principle. So this goes along with what we were just talking about. I am still imperfect. I still fail God. I still think, do, and say things that I shouldn't. I still mess up. But every time I mess up and I allow God to speak to my heart, I learn a lesson from everything that goes wrong, and I move to a better understanding of the person that God wants me to be.
Absolutely. God is, we are all a work in progress, and that's the wonderful thing. Each day is a reset, you know, that you get a do-over And it might still be another day where you have failed in some way. But the wonderful thing about the Lord is he always welcomes us with open arms. You know, just confess to me, daughter. Like, I get it. I walked in your shoes once. I get how frail the humans are. And it's because of our relationship with the Lord that we can run to him. It's not that we just let that sin pile up and pile up within us. We have somewhere to go to relieve it. And that's into his loving arms.
And, you know, the Bible says that we're renewed by hearing the word of God. And so I do think that we have to be aware that the way God changes us is in his word. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So just like you reading Priscilla Shire's book, you were showing me in a picture earlier how many notes you have and everything. So while you're reading that book about the armor of God, God's revealing things to you, right?
Absolutely. In fact, she has a couple more points I would love to share that align with that, because I kind of wondered that myself too. When you read a scripture, sometimes you're like, I get caught up in the poetry of the words. Mm-hmm. And it's that's why a Bible study like this on something as important as the armor of God is so fantastic, that you can have just one line of that scripture broken down for you to really think about the importance and what does that look like to gird yourself with truth. And truth is clearly an important part of scripture. I mean, if you were to go to a good concordance, you'll see multiple listings of truth. Yes. Many, many scriptures talk about truth. Mm-hmm. So how are you supposed to put on this belt of truth? You daily, systematically, repeatedly begin letting God help you align your decisions and responses, even your attitudes and ambitions, alongside his benchmark of truth. Mm. You continually learn about the character and purposes of God, both from the Bible and from his Spirit. Then you unapologetically synchronize your convictions, even when you find it hard or unpopular to do so.
Wow. There is so much truth in that right there. You synchronize your convictions. So you're learning about the character of God. He's speaking to you. He's convicting you. He's telling you, this is how I want to change your heart. But it's up to us to synchronize our convictions with how we want to be. Wow, that is great.
Even when you find it unpopular. Yeah. I think I underlined unpopular in my notes here, because I know that, like, for those of us who kind of market, brand, communicate on social media, that can become one of the greatest hotbeds of controversy in your life. Mm-hmm. When you state something or share something, there will be people who have opinions that must share them, and then you are put in the position of responding or not responding, and it become a heated debate, mm-hmm. like a wildfire before you know it, of people weighing in to tell you how you are wrong or you are doing this or that. And I have experienced it firsthand. It's so hard to stand up when that kind of thing is happening to you. And our fear of that is what causes us to shirk back from just sharing the truth, standing for the truth, and knowing that you are God's girl. Like, God has your back. We know this. The Bible promises us that 100 different ways. But even in the face of that, I think that whole fear of man often prevents us from just standing in that truth.
Also, I think one of the biggest lies that Satan tells us is that if we put ourselves out to be a Christian and we're doing any kind of ministry, just like you and I are doing this show, that then people are expecting us to be perfect. And if we screw up, we've really screwed up. And, mm-hmm. you know, if we are saying anything to the public that is a Jesus message, then we better make sure we're perfect or someone might judge us. You know, like, that's a lie of the enemy. You know, all we can do is put up the truth, which is God's word. And then Jesus does the work in people's heart. The truth of God's word plants the seed in their heart. And also, we're just never going to be perfect because we're just human. Like you said earlier, we're just imperfect and human.
It's absolutely true. We should have a little statement on our mm-hmm. page that says, these are two imperfect Christians.
Exactly.
You don't need to remind us.
Exactly. Well, I found a good site. It's called lifehopeandtruth.com. And here's what it had to say about truth. The doubts and debates about the existence of absolute truth existed in Christ's time also. When he was put on trial for his life, Jesus was asked by the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, if he was indeed proclaiming himself to be a king, as the Jews claimed. He answered that he came to bear witness to truth. He said, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate responded, "What is truth?" And Jesus obviously found it important to tell Pilate that he, Jesus Christ, was the source of absolute truth. And in his response, Pilate, like so many in our world today, seemed to find it doubtful that real truth can be identified. And I do feel like I had a little thought in my head as we started this show. There will be people listening who maybe it's from their education or just how they've been taught. They are thinking to themselves, there is no absolute truth. But I choose to believe that the Word of God is absolute truth.
I can see where people come from. There are many different aspects of the Bible that are very difficult to read.
Right.
It is sometimes, and I've been finding myself highlighting a scripture or a passage where I ask myself, why God, mm-hmm. why would you be okay with that? Why were you all right with, why did you instigate that? Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we're just never going to know the answer this side of heaven. Right. We're never going to know. And maybe some of that's okay not to know. What I understand that the filter of truth comes through reading the Word of God and having that in your heart. But I also feel sometimes that it comes with our personal relationship with God.
Yes.
You know, one thing I remember Dr. Evans saying is that the more you love God, the more you should hate sin.
Yes, amen.
Like you can't embrace both together. And I've really, really been taking that to heart. Like I really to heart. So for one example, one thing that's really been kind of simmering in my brain is about our bodies being a temple, mm-hmm. you know, and taking care of my body. And I've been such a glutton most of my life, you know, that I've been really trying hard to treat it differently. It is a temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And am I making the Holy Spirit hang out with all of my, you know, the icky stuff I put in my body, how I'm not moving, how I'm just kind of like, I'm letting that just kind of simmer in my thoughts, like treat your body like a holy place. I have been really immersed in the beginning of the Bible. So I've been reading through Genesis, you know, onward. I think I'm in Numbers as of today. And God is very specific about his holy tabernacle, his holy place. And I've been using that as an example to myself. Your body is a holy place for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which God has gifted us with. So to me, it's like even in those small things, I'm really trying to really analyze my life differently. And am I really living out truth? Am I living my life in such a way that would attract people to Christ? And so that's really become this bigger and bigger kind of, I feel like it's like a marketing campaign for Jesus, you know? Does my life really reflect that? In the way that I speak, in the way that I treat people, in the way that people interact with me, and what I say and what I stand for, am I really being a true, you know, positive influence for our team?
I agree with you completely. And you know what? I ask God to convict me about things like that. Because I know if God convicts me, for instance, of eating sugar, then I won't eat it as much. And I used to work for a pastor who would talk about healthy eating and being healthy and being a good representative of God. And some people would get mad. And I would say to him afterward, please keep saying that. Because if someone would preach on that every week, I would be a better person, you know? And that is, and what's so amazing to me is, even if you didn't believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and you just follow the principles in the Bible to line up your life with it, then you would be living a life that's for your own good, because everything in the Word of God is for our own good. You know, it's just a great handbook to life. There's this new show. I can't remember the station it comes on, but there's a new show called Living Biblically, and it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. And so far, it has been so great. There's only been a couple of episodes. And this guy has decided to live according to the Bible for an entire year. And he's Catholic, and there's a priest and a rabbi that are helping him. And he's like, he keeps having all of these quandaries come up because everything that he's been doing, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. It is really, really great. And so far, it's not been disrespectful at all. It's perfect. And so it's like if we would just live according to how the Bible tells us to live, we would be healthier, we would be happier, we would walk in a different truth than people who don't understand the Word of God do.
And that the great thing is that who we pray to each day, he has the ability to help you align yourself more and more with Christ.
Yes.
By submitting yourself to him, by coming to him, by constantly asking. The Holy Spirit is within us and becomes like your conscience. Mm-hmm. It convicts you when, hey, didn't you ask God for, you know, help in this area, and here you are reaching for this, here you are speaking this way. I mean, that little voice is there for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And and we can choose to, like, you know, ignore it, brush it off our shoulder. I don't hear that. I just want to do what I want to do. Or you can choose to be like, yes, that is what I've asked for. That's what I've been praying for. Becoming more like Christ is not going to be a simple thing. Not when we are the way we are. And so one of the things that I love about this Bible study, I can't say enough good things about it. She makes this, she has this one paragraph that I highlighted and noted up, down, left, right. Like it really it boiled it all down for me. This is Priscilla Shire speaking. God's truth, biblical truth, without concrete allegiance to and affirmation with this truth, the real truth, you're left weak and susceptible to things that may look right and sound right, yet actually aren't right. Mm. But with the isn't that good? Mm-hmm. But with the standard of truth in place, you can adjust everything else in your life, your ambitions, choices, feelings, your mind, will, and emotions, until all of it is tuned correctly. When you have a strong, stable, well-supported core, you can't easily be led astray by the enemy's clever lies. Gird yourself with truth, and you're on guard from the word go.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Everything you read of her, I say, wow, because it just amazes me.
It's Priscilla. Her amazing teaching. She is so awesome.
It's God telling her hands what to write.
It is. That's what I love. Absolutely. And that's what I love. When you lay your own ambitions down and you're asking to be tuned correctly with God, I feel like that's when God gives you the inspiration. Like he can work with you. Now I can work with you.
Exactly.
When you are submitted to me, now I can work with you, daughter. Now I can give you a word to share with your sister to encourage and inspire her. Now I can trust you with this amazing job or project I have for you. When we show that we are capable of God letting, like, molding us, melding us, teaching us, just the same way that you correct your child, that's all this is. God is just trying to correct us to be ambassadors of the truth.
That is so good. I read something this week. It said, when you want to run, that's when the real work begins.
And there
that has hit me so
hard.
Well,
I got my running shoes on. Tracy.
Yeah. But it's like when you think, okay, I can't do this anymore, then I believe God lets us get to that place to where we have to be totally dependent on him. We are just,
totally agree.
We're wiped out. We're empty. We're like, God, okay, now I'm a vessel. I'm an empty vessel. Just use
now
me.
Now I've laid myself down.
Yes. Yes. So, wow,
like,
that is so
like
powerful.
It's reaching the end of yourself.
Yes,
you know?
And
that's kind of hard for women in general. I think we have a tendency of just kind of wanting to control everything, mm-hmm. control our environment, control our family, control, control, control. I just feel like it's like one of those things that we just have kind of wired into us. And it takes a little while to realize We don't have to try to control everything. Right. When you God's like, hey, what am I here for then?
Exactly. He wants to be needed. He really does. Well, this has been so good. And as we said, we're talking about girding your waist with truth. I want to read this one last little bit from lifehopeandtruth.com. It says, a belt and scabbard, especially when thought of in terms of a soldier's defense, brings to mind the image of something that encircles or encompasses someone in order to protect. Truth does that for the Christian. It allows us to follow God without deviating from the path. And I love that visual image of the truth of God being all around us. We can walk out into the world. And that's really what we want to talk about with the armor of God, is walking out into the world prepared to face the enemy, to be who God called us to be. So thank you for that great conversation. That has given me a lot to think about, and I hope that it has everyone listening as well.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and make sure to link the Armor of God Bible study in the show notes. And also, I would encourage you to do a word study on truth, to go look up and write out all the scriptures that talk about truth. Truth is a really important topic for God. He wouldn't have mentioned it so often if it wasn't. And I think that it can help all of us really try to align ourselves. Remember what she said about aligning yourself, being in tune. So that's what I would encourage you with this week, is to really think about truth, meditate on it, and do a study on it.
You know, one of my favorite things that you do is a crafty commonplace book, where you take just a blank journal and you decorate it with all your little beautiful stickers and ephemera and bits and pieces. And so that would be something good to use those for, is a topic
that
you challenge someone to look into. Just write on the decorate the pages first, right?
Yeah, I tend to decorate first, but sometimes it depends. Like in this case, when I know what the topic's going to be, I would probably just go into it knowing I'm going to like decorate and write as I go. Okay. But I think that's a fabulous idea, Tracy. And I will make sure to link that video below too as well.
Okay.
So people can see what I'm talking about, and share with us your pages. If you haven't joined the Faithful Life Club, here's an awesome opportunity to do so and share what your pages on truth look like. We would love to see them, and I'll make sure to link the invitation to join the club as well.
Awesome. And if you would like to give us any feedback about the show, you can send us an email to hello@thefirstloveclub.com. We do want to apologize for the technical difficulties we had during this show. We had a little more background noise than we intended. When we got ready to tape, it was quiet. And then all of a sudden, we started talking and Satan didn't like it, did he? But you know,
that's what we'll chalk it up to.
Exactly. That's the way it is when you're traveling, though. So you are actually headed to your mom's in California. And Will you be there for a little while? Tell us about that.
We are actually going to be there for probably about 2.5 months.
Awesome.
So I'm going to be filming lots of videos for our workshop, prepping for our monthly membership that we're going to be offering soon. So I am going home to work, spend time with my mom. This time of the year, last year, we lost my dad. So I think my family is just, it's a good time for all of us to be together.
Yes.
So we are just eager to get home and get working on getting all new offerings for the Reset Girl.
We also want to mention that we are looking into doing a couple of the First Love Club workshops or retreats in the New England and Northern area of the United States this fall. And so we have a potential place in Michigan, but if you are in the New England area and you are affiliated with a large church, we would love to partner with that church and possibly hold an event there. If you could send us an email at hello@thefirstloveclub.com, or if you'd just like us to come to your area, we would like to know that as well. And when we do a First Love Club event, Corey teaches her Faithful Planner Girl workshop, and I teach a class called Faith Recorded, and we've worked it out so that the two classes complement each other. And so it's a lot of fun, and it's an all-day workshop, and we will be giving you more details on those when we have those events booked. So let us know if you would like for us to host a workshop in your area. So thanks so much for listening, everyone. We hope that you'll tune in again next week as we continue the discussion on the armor of God.
Bye, everybody.